That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, July 18th. What a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. And we thank you for joining us. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. And we hope you're having as beautiful weather as we are today. Blue skies, the birds are chirping, the sun is in the air, and Jesus Christ is on the throne. Hallelujah. Well, we welcome you to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're the Wranglers. We got our coffee. Hope you got your coffee, men. Got our Bibles. I know you have your Bibles, even if you don't have coffee. And we do welcome you. We'll have the phone lines open a little bit later. I know Ramrod's got a few things he wants to cover this morning. But, Jason, if you'd open us up in prayer first, then we'll go from there.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for this day that you've given us and for the sunshine and the weather that you've given us, Father. We thank you for all the work that you've allowed us to get accomplished recently. And we pray, Father, and just ask that you continue to bless our hands and the labors that we do as we come to serve you and to worship you, Father. We pray on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation, pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we pray and petition for the saints. And we pray, Father, that you continue to deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and the forces that come against us. And, Father, we ask that you deal with the forces that come against us, Father. They come in many different shapes, forms, on many different fronts, Father. And we pray that you deal with these demonic forces of hell, these demons, Father, that you deal with Satan, Father, as he continues to try to stop the works of your people, Father. And so many times our people are hindered from a force that they don't know what it is, Father. And we just ask that you deal with these forces, Father, and that you protect our people, that you continue to open their eyes to the fight that is put before them, Father. We pray that you give us strength in this battle, in the spiritual battle that we're in, Father, this spiritual battle and this physical battle, Father. We pray that those that war with us, we ask that you war with them, Father. Those that dig a pit for us, we want them to be the ones that go into it. We just cover them up, Father. We pray that all these fiery darts of the evil one that are sent our direction, Father, we pray that you change those curses and those fiery missiles of the evil one, that you change them to blessings, Father, and let them fall down upon us, Father. And we pray that you deal with our enemies as you see fit. We know that you've got a plan picked out for each and every one of them, and we ask that you deal with them, Father. We ask that you continue to open our eyes for us to see the things that we need to see, and that you guide us and direct us, and that you give us more of that Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can listen to it and be obedient to it, Father, and hear your call, Father. We desire healings in this land, Father. We want to see our people healed. We see so many people affected by the forces of hell, Father, and we want to see our people healed. We want to see our people freed of these afflictions. We want to see our people freed of these demonic oppressions, Father, these demons that live inside them, that perch on their shoulders, that guide them and direct them, that put them into a zombie state, Father. We want to see that bound, bundled, and escorted to the pits of hell not to return upon them, Father. We want to see these things, Father, and we're just crying out to you to give it to us. We ask that you guide us and direct us in all that we do and that you strengthen us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, like about every other week, there's no lack of things to pray for, no lack of things to pray about, against, from jihad going on in Chattanooga. You know, not a lone gunman, but a terrorist. Just shooting up the world and the Obama administration doing all they can to deny that he's a Muslim. To wildfires
Obama
raging.
Obama Nation, yeah. Administration.
Yeah, the Obama Nation. Abomination administration, that's for sure.
Exactly.
But, shootouts up in Maine, you know, wildfires jumping the highway and burning cars on the highway out in California. If you can't see the handwriting on the wall, you know, the times that we are in are times unlike any other. And then I think, John, what you wanted to talk about, this mess that has been in the news about Planned Parenthood. You know, and one thing that I've noticed about it, and I'll just give it to you, John, but there's very little outrage. You know, it's just business as usual. Hey, this is what happens. Anyway, we'll turn that to you, John. I know you wanted to talk about that.
Well, you think about the governor in California, and you can see that the hand of God is coming down on that state, especially, who is that, Jerry, I forget his last name, but anyways.
Brown.
I mean, most of this gay, lesbian, transgendered crap started in California, and as California goes, so goes the rest of the country, unfortunately. But now, the arrogance of this man that last I heard, he was mandating it to be law for all children attending public school as well as universities to be vaccinated, and taking that a step further to the point of all adults who refuse to be vaccinated will be held liable and put in jail. So you can see that the hand of God is coming down upon California. It's probably not the best place to be when judgment comes. But here, what I believe is going on regarding, there's two stories in the news, and some people may not have seen the second one, and Lord willing, we'll get to that as well. But God is exposing the depth of the evil in this industry, the abortion industry, and that's what it is. It's an industry. It's a business. We need to capitalize on that and pray against it for its destruction, and that's exactly what I've been doing. But Planned Parenthood is straight from the pits of hell, and I believe what's going on here is God is testing us to see if we even care or give value anymore to human life, or if we become as Babylon of old, that cared more during the building of the Tower of Babel about a broken brick than a human life. And I think that's the long and the short of what's going on here. But, you know, these are the terrors that God warned us, the sons of the devil. We are witnessing the parable of the wheat and the tares taking place before our very eyes. There will be no friendly fire in God's judgment. All the tares will be so bold and so brazen that they cannot be mistaken. And then the Lord will gather, bind, and burden them all. And one thing we need to know is that, make no mistake, we will pay for the innocent blood that has been shed as it cries out to God. Now that's basically, I just read what I sent to this group of 14 men that I meet with on Tuesday mornings as a prayer breakfast. And some of them, you know, for them, this is the first time hearing these kind of things. And, you know, there's probably a couple less showing up to some of these because they can't stand the fact that somebody will stand up and say the truth. And the place where we used to meet, right out in the middle of the main assembly line, I noticed this Tuesday, we're in the back room now, you know. And they may even push you out the door from there. Because when someone says that Jesus Christ did not die so some stinking queer can marry another queer. And that's a new concept to these people. But
it is, but it's a concept they need to hear because it's a concept in the Bible. You know, I saw a billboard the other day and it said, homosexuals must repent or go to hell. And amen. I agree. But that applies not just to that sin. It applies to every sin. That's what the Bible
says.
And that's the love that this ministry puts out. The love of the truth. The reading of the word that, hey, sinners don't make it into the kingdom. Sinners don't make it to heaven. Homosexuality is a sin. It's just as simple as that.
Well, God is not slow as the world counts slowness, but he is patient, not wanting any to come to destruction, but all to come to repentance. And that's what our prayer is, too. And it's, you know, that's a dangerous place when you call for judgment on someone else until first you have to call for repentance. If at all possible, we need to pray that that person who is in sin can come to repentance. But there's those that are of their father, the devil, you know, and that's what I was going to read. 2 Peter 2:10-12, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desire and despise authority, daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. Whereas angels, who are greater in might and power, do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like unreasoning animals born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reveling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. This is the ones that God's talking about, the ones that are doing these abortions that are, you know, I don't know if you saw the video, but it really, if it didn't make you cry, then there's something wrong. Because these are human lives. These are little babies. And this lady's sitting there eating lunch and talking about how you have to use an ultrasound to preserve the hearts and the livers and, you know, these parts that are worth money, and grab the forceps below and crush above. And, you know, I mean, it's hard to stand without hitting your knees and just begging God for judgment upon these people.
Yeah, we are to be that way. You know, Abraham prayed as God was headed for Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham prayed for those people. He didn't pray that God wouldn't destroy them. I think he prayed for repentance. And, you know, it's been that way since then. It's repent or perish. You know, it's his way or the highway. It truly is. And no matter how society changes, no matter what becomes politically correct, no matter what becomes socially correct, no matter what becomes legal in the eyes of the so-called Supreme Court, who aren't Christian, the Word of God still stands.
Amen. Yeah, another scripture. I sent out a bunch of scriptures to these men, and for, you know, like I said, for some it's foreign. They've never even heard such a thing. But in John 8:43-45, it says, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me." These people are not a people that commit these disgusting acts and are doing the work of their father, the devil.
No, I agree. I agree exactly. I think they're either, you know, you got a couple different categories of them. They're either, you know, which we do call it, terror. They would fall into the category to me as an alien. They would fall into the category of, or they're, you know, completely demonically possessed or demons themselves.
Yep. You can't,
you know,
do these kind of things.
You know, going back, you know, several years, I know that, you know, I was kicking myself because it seems like nobody cared in 2011. You know, the Pepsi Corporation, they signed a contract, a 4-year contract worth over $30 billion I believe it was 10 and it went into effect in 2011, but it was a 4-year contract over $30 million with, a company called, Dynamax. And this company was a flavor-enhancing company that did research, and they were a research and development company. And they were doing, one of their big projects for the Pepsi company was the HEK-293, which was, they took all of their stem cells from aborted fetuses, from the kidneys of aborted fetuses, to be precise. And
right.
They took those and they derived those and they synthesized them and, you know, basically in a synthetic form reproduced the HEK-293. And they were doing this, they were buying fetuses from all over the place and they were having them brought in and they were extracting the kidneys from them and they were breaking them down and extracting the stem cells and growing them and watching them. And, you know, there were so many people that, you know, they just, you know, didn't care. You know, when I heard about it and researched it and found out it was true, I never bought another Pepsi. I mean, you know, I never could. I was a Pepsi drinker at that point in time, and that was it.
Amen.
You know, and, you know,
yeah,
people,
but it was Kraft and Nestle as well, though.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot more since then.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, you look at, I mean, to me, that's as demonic witchcraft sorcery as you can get.
Absolutely. Well, you know, our God is not mocked, right? Dad always taught us, too, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of missing children and millions of hot dogs. And, you know, that God's Word says in Deuteronomy 28:53, "Then you shall eat the offspring of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you during the siege and the distress by which your enemy will oppress you." And this is what I sent out to these men as well, Ezekiel 5:9-11. "And because of all of your abominations, I will do among you what I have not done, and the like of which I will never do again. Therefore, fathers will eat their sons among you, and sons will eat their fathers. For I will execute judgment on you and scatter all your remnant to every wind. So as I live, declares the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all of your detestable idols and with your abominations, therefore I will also withdraw, and my eye will have no pity, and I will not spare." And there's a couple other ones too, Leviticus 26:29. "You will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters." Jeremiah 19:9. "I will make them eat the flesh of their sons and their daughters, and they will eat one another's flesh, because their enemies will press the siege so hard against them and destroy them." And Lamentations 4:10. "With their own hands, compassionate women have cooked their own children, who became their food when my people were destroyed. And then the last scripture I put in there was, so have I become your enemy for telling you the truth, Galatians 4:16. But, you know, if you read Deuteronomy 28, we say it over and over. The first 15 verses are all the blessings that God will bestow upon his people if they will but keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. But 16 through 68 are the curses. And deep into the curse phase is this, these scriptures.
Amen.
And yeah, I mean, it makes you. It's sad, and you know, I mean, it's just it shows you that more and more, it's just, you know, you hit your knees and pray and repent and try to be different than the rest of the world. I mean, it shows you that it really shows you how far gone you know, this country, nation, world is, you know, and just makes you want to draw closer to God so that you can be separate from it.
Right. Well, that's what, like I said, I think this is a test right now. This is a test. God's exposing the evil of this Planned Parenthood, and we'll see if we've become so far removed from God as a people that we will not cry and mourn over the abomination. It's just like Ezekiel 9:4. You know, First John 3:10 says, this is how we will know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. Again, it's choose ye this day who you shall serve. If Baal be God, then serve Baal. But if the Lord be God, then serve the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, here, the saddest thing is if this was a puppy mill or a stinking place that raised cats or elephants or any other animal, there would be an outrage in this country like you would not believe.
Oh,
and that shows you where we are as a people.
It is.
You know, how far are we away from when man's thoughts were continually evil, when the time when God had enough was enough.
Amen. John, you mentioned it before in the building of the Tower of Babel. The human life was not considered sacred at all. The people were more upset, like you said, if a brick fell and broke, the brick that was building that tower. You know, that raised more concern in those days than if a person died in building that tower. And you're right, we've come full circle back to that. And it's an evil and sinful time. You know, a couple of scriptures, one that's kind of come up recently is that just seems to be applying more and more is Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, John, from being sitting out front in the prayer meeting to now you're in the back room, and because there are those that are ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. There are those that are ashamed of the words of God, of the Bible, of what the Bible says. And, you know, the society today, this once great nation, this good old USA, and the government that rules it, they're, you know, I think we will see them outlawing the Bible, calling it hate speech. That's one of the next steps. I don't believe that's very far down the road. And so this applies to me, this applies to you, this applies to everybody. If you're ashamed of this word, then God and Jesus Christ will be ashamed of you. It's as simple as that. But the people don't read the word. The normal people, the regular people out there, the majority of people, they don't. You know, they're too busy with everything else.
As we met this past Tuesday, I brought that flyer out that we have available on the fruit of the spirit, and I was leading it off with love and. like I said, I was supposed to do that 2 weeks ago, but it was right after the Supreme Court ruling, and I basically told them I ain't doing nothing on love right now because it's been perverted. You know, when filthy faggot queers are celebrating love, then I'm sure not going to bring a message on it to these people. So I brought it on the judgment of Ezekiel 9:4, and you know, some of these men, they're like, wow, you know, we really appreciate the fact that you're like Noah standing up and warning the people to repent or perish. And a couple of these guys, this time I did bring it on love, but I brought it on hate as well. And I said, the problem with the churches today is they teach you not to hate. Well, you're to hate evil. You cannot have the perfect love that God wants without the perfect hate. And if you do not hate evil and evildoers, then you're not fulfilling what it is that God's plan is for you as a true Christian follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And one of the men said that he brought up a scenario of a friend of his that he went to Bible college with. Some of these guys are Judeo pastors, but and he said, you know, I've had this dilemma since they passed this gay marriage thing. And he said, this man I've known all his, you know, most of his life, and he went to ministry, and he became a pastor, and his son decided to follow the gay death style. And he said just recently, a couple weeks ago or whatever, he got married, and he struggled with not this guy, but the father struggled with going to the wedding, and he did go. And then the question came out, and everybody around the table was like, well, would you go? And I said, no, I wouldn't go. And I disown him too, because I'm not, all I'm doing is condemning him if I'm not showing him that
Amen.
That what he's doing is wrong. And
Amen.
And some of these guys, they're like, well, you know, it's less than 2%, and I refuse to let 2% of the population affect my life. And I said, well, you're an idiot, because you didn't care in the beginning when they said, oh, we're coming out of the closet, or we're going to allow them to be in the military, because you were not standing as a watchman over the house of Israel back then. That camel's nose, the whole stinking camel's underneath the tent now.
Yeah,
because you wouldn't take a stand. You know,
it is, and they the even the
and
like
I
you said
for you.
Even the Judeo-Christian, they don't associate that with sin. You know, what if the son was a murderer? What if the son was a murderer? You know, would he still get supported then? What if the son was a child molester? What if the son was an adulterer? You know, do you just accept it, or do you condemn it and say, hey, this is not acceptable? You don't do this kind of stuff. You know, as opposed to, oh, you have to love them and you have to support them, and you know, but and that's how we've become as a society. It's lawlessness. You know, when they've been preaching that law of God, oh, that's nailed to the cross, brother. So it's anything goes. If that's nailed to the cross and there's no more law, it's Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. And we're seeing that in the actions, and we're going to see that in the destruction.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know that the judgment is just going to accelerate now that the not-so-Supreme Court has made their ruling.
Yes.
But hastening the day of the Lord, we're still doing our part. We're still proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ all across the world. And you know what? We're doing our part to bring the
Amen.
Return of Jesus Christ. So praise Amen. The Lord.
Romans 14, starting in verse 10, says, for we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise
Amen.
To God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. And then right after it, in Romans 15:4, it says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And, you know, we still do have hope. We have hope that those of our loved ones that might be caught up in this will repent. That loved ones caught up in any sin will repent and return to Him. You know, we read that's God's will. God says, I don't want those that are evil, those that are doing wickedness to die, but rather that they repent. But if they won't repent, then they will die. They will perish. They will face that account of himself. And when he says, why did you not repent? Or why did you not listen to these men when they explained it to you? When he says, why did you continue to choose to go back to sin time and time again? They're going to be speechless, and it's going to be too late then.
Amen. Well, probably should open up the phone lines. I'm sure there's plenty to
we'll do that.
Talk about.
Open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in this Saturday morning, coffee with the Wranglers. And phone lines are open. Again, 307-745-5913. And, if you have any
another good scripture
comments.
That demonstrates what we're talking about, too, is Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. Yeah, roaming, seeking for someone to desire or to devour. Come to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's what they do. It is.
And we better get it figured out. But, so, I may not be a member of this breakfast group for long, but it is what it is. And, I've even buffered the truth that we know, trying to. But time is short. So, is there time for the milk? If you want Jesus loves me, go somewhere else. But if you want the truth, then come here.
Right. Right. And it's not that we don't preach Jesus loves you. We do.
Absolutely.
And he does. And, but there's more to it than that. That's a start. That might get you started, but you got to keep on. Let's try the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? I'm Steve from California.
Hey, good evening, Steve from California.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning. Well, your broadcast is just wonderful. It's just great being around people who love God. My family does not like Peter, John Peters. They think he's a hate monger and all that kind of stuff, or was, since he's gone home to be with the Lord, which pretty soon we will. But anyway, I'm looking for a broadcast for a program. They'll basically bring me the news that CNN seems to lose this lady I've been listening to. Is just, she's gone off the deep end. She's on yoga and earthing and off and vegetarianism and all that stuff. She's just really gone off the deep end and will not repent.
Yeah. Well, she's not to be a teacher anyways of the Word of God, so.
Yeah, she says she's a Christian, but I emailed her, told her to repent or go to hell. She said, don't say that kind of stuff. That's judgmental. And
well, then, God himself is judgmental, because he the Word tells us. He tells us several times, return to me. Return to me.
Yep.
What is that return from? It's return from your sinning ways. Return from lawlessness. Return from your wickedness. And in the New Testament, we read, repent or perish. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent or perish. That is judgmental. That is absolutely judgmental. And so when we give it in that context, it's given in love, and it's given as a warning. If the people want to take it as being judgmental, that shows that they are our people, because that law is written on their heart and they know they're sinning, but they want to. They're comfortable in it and they want to remain in it, and they're convicted of it. But we have Christ as our example, and he put the truth out and he said, here it is, repent or perish, and then he moved on to somebody else. And
yep, that's it.
When
but where do I go for my news?
Well,
that's
we have
the
a
thing
news
I'm...
wire on. Jason, why don't you explain that?
Oh, well, one thing that we do encourage people to do is we have the newswire at the sfawbn.com website, and we get a lot of people that send us in news items that they want to see covered, and we put them up there and try to get them out there. And people can download that and go to that site, and we keep that site updated pretty good. And, you know, so if you see something that you want covered in the news, you know, send it to me. You can send it to jason@sfaw.org. And that's a good place to send it to. And, you know, do appreciate everybody that does send stuff like that in. There's a lot of different things out there. Do you have good internet where you're at?
Yes, I do. I have cable. Time Warner, which is...
Did you join us for church on Sunday mornings?
Yes, I do, every Sunday morning that I can.
Yeah,
okay.
Well,
so you can see
been doing a lot of the spiritual review of the news is there. They start at 10 o'clock Mountain Time on Sunday mornings. Right now, too, is what you're seeing in the media situation is, you know, you got to hunt and find and try to find something. You're not just going to get it handed to you on a platter. I mean, that's just it's like any of the truth that you want, you got to go after them and you got to find them. I believe that it's the Lord not just handing it to you. It's, you know, he's going to say, oh yeah, you want the truth? You want the truth? Do you really want the truth? You're going to have to go and find it.
That's right.
And Steve, the other thing
I encourage you to stick on it, stay on it, you know, find stuff though, you know, but, you know, we've got a lot of people out there that do that. And is what we encourage people to do is when they find something like that, share it with us so that we can share it with other people, you know. And basically we've created a network, news network, where, you know, people, we get on a regular basis get stuff sent in from, you know, Minnesota, Ohio, Wisconsin, Illinois, you know, all the way from, you know, coast to coast. And it's, it's really encouraging when you see stuff coming in and people's different takes on news items and things that are taking place in the country. And it's what we found is, you know, what's in the news and what may be big news over in, let's say Minnesota, for instance, they think it's national news over there. Nobody else knows about it.
Right.
And that's the way the news media works is, you know, you can think that this is big news and everybody knows about it. Well, it can be so isolated to a certain area that you think everybody knows about it, and everybody else has no idea what's going on.
Right.
That's right. I guess this is not a day for the lazy entitlement mentality.
Amen.
No. Yeah.
No, I would agree. You know, and that's what encourage. Just, you know, stick with it. Keep you know, trying to find it. If you want to email me, jason@sfaw.org, I can give you a couple places that I get some good news stuff. Send me an email, and I'll send you some links on stuff. And if you get, are you familiar with RSS feed stuff at all?
Some, not really.
Okay, yeah, just shoot me an email. We don't have time to go into it right here, but, yeah, shoot me an email when you get a chance, and, you know, I'll send you some information.
Okay.
Well, Steve, thanks so much joining us this morning. We'll try to get this other caller, and you stay safe out there in California, brother.
I hope I can. I mean, with all the destruction, Kel, I'd rather be in out there with you guys or in Montana.
I can understand that.
Those are the two places I'd rather be than California.
All right.
God will protect his people.
Amen.
Yeah, he will.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Have a blessed
weekend. When Steve called, he's like, it's good to hear from men who love Jesus. Not only do we love Jesus, we fear God and we fear Jesus.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend. And we've got one other caller here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, man. This is Willis over in Illinois. How are you fellas this morning?
Fantastic.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, brother.
Amen. Hey, I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but you were talking about Richard had mentioned a few minutes back where he thought that sooner or later they might try to do away with the Bible. I'm thinking what they're going to do is just try to cut everything out that they find offensive. I heard that there was some faggot queer that is actually in the process right now of suing a couple publishing companies for the hate speech in the Bible regarding homosexuals. And I got a feeling they're going to try to just do away with that part, you know, that they can sue the publishing companies for hate crimes or hate speech and get them to remove those parts of the Bible. That's what its goal is.
Well, they've already modified it to the Queen James version that's homosexual friendly. Jason brought that out a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah. Which doesn't surprise me. You know, I don't know if anybody else heard anything about this or not, but I heard on a radio show here last week that there was a Christian pastor in, I believe it was New Jersey. It was either New Jersey or Vermont, I believe, that has already been sentenced to 1 year in federal prison for refusing to marry a sodomite couple.
No, I haven't seen that yet.
I don't know if anybody else has heard anything about that. But I think those times are coming.
Better be ready for them.
Yep.
You better be ready for them. Absolutely.
Yep. And I would venture to say that that was a licensed by the state preacher.
Absolutely.
Anyway, you guys have a blessed weekend. Good to hear you all on the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yep.
See you, Willis.
Goodbye.
Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. All creation groans and cries out. It's the time of birth pangs, and they're getting stronger and they're getting closer together.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Isaiah 62:6 says, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen. All the day and all the night they shall never be silent. Well, praise be to Jesus. We had a watchman for over 30 years in this ministry, and that watchman taught us to be watchmen. And by praying for God to give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that's exactly what he's done to a small group of people, a remnant, that can see things that the rest of the world can't see.
Amen. Amen. Well, a few more minutes left here. 307-745-5913 if you want to call in. We've been encouraging you to...
You know, it's interesting. This is kind of a little bit of a different subject. But this week I had a meeting. I was sitting down with a man, a friend of me and John's, and we were sitting down with a lady, and, you know, he brought up, I'd been talking to him about fasting. He talked to John had shared about his fasting experiences with him, and he asked me about it, and I shared my experiences with him, and, you know, talked about, you know, Scripture's pretty clear to me. It says, because, you know, you see this time and time again, it says, when you fast. You know, it doesn't say if you fast or, you know, if you decide to fast, it says when you fast. And, you know, to me that was, you know, that's pretty obvious that it's something you are to do from time to time. And so he was sitting there and with this friend of mine, and you know, he was saying, you know, he's like, I fasted, you know, he said, I fasted for 2 days, and talked about just how much different, never done anything like that, and how at the end of 2 days, how different he started to feel. And the lady that we were sitting with, you know, she, he said, you know, he's like, man, he's like, I don't think I could make it. He's like, I gotta get used to this. He's like, you know, I don't know if I'd ever be able to do 7 days. And she started laughing, and then He's like, well, you know, he's like, Jason and John, they, you know, John made it almost 8 days, and Jason made it, you know, almost 7 days. And she said, amateurs. And we both looked at her, and we said, well, how long have you fasted for? And she had done several 30-day fasts, and talked about, you know, a crazy situation, but, you know, different times where, you know, people were led to do different things. But I think that, you know, is what was interesting is, you know, here's somebody that, you know, that never even heard of it, but decided that made the point that they wanted to do it. And at the end of just 2 days, could tell that, you know, their prayers were more powerful, that they were having a better connection with God, that, you know, had that, started to feel that clarity that you feel when you fast. And, you know, I just like to encourage people to do that on a regular basis. You know, it's something that used to be done a lot more than, you know, even 20 years ago in, you know, the Christian, you know, Israel movement. It was a very common thing to do. People did it on a very regular basis, a couple times a year. You go back to, you know, our forefathers. It was, you know, if it was a weekly deal, it was a monthly deal, and, you know, at least several times a year. And you know, another thing that's neat too is you can just, you know, see how our Heavenly Father has that, just, you know, that superior knowledge, because you look at all the health benefits that a person can receive from fasting on you know, a monthly, a yearly basis. I mean, it basically, if you do a 7, you know, a 7-day fast and completely do an autoimmune reset, and, you know, start your immune system over again. And, you know, it's one of the times that, you know, it's important with everything that's being thrown at us, from the genetically modified foods, from the toxins that are coming in through the chemtrails, from the, you know, everything that they're spraying around us. I mean, basically, we're living in a not-so-great environment. And, you know, this is one of the things that can really help people, and I believe that was through our Heavenly Father's infinite wisdom and, you know, design. Basically, you know, He designed the body, and He knows how it works, and He knows how to take care of it. You know, if we just look at, you know, what He has to say about it. So, I just wanted to get that in there before we ran out of time, because I thought it was pretty encouraging that, you know, I've talked to several people that have shared it with, and they've never even thought about it, and or they've thought about it or something that was practiced years ago, but it had been kind of, you know, something that people just forgot about. It was a part of a lot of different groups of, as far as Christianity was concerned. You know, even, you know, 20 years ago, they had, you know, fast, prayer and fasting on, you know, regular basis, and it's something that's been really forgotten. And, you know, when you talk about that, you know, it's brought a lot of things back to memory for a lot of people, and, you know, people have decided that, hey, you know, that's what we need. And, you know, I was really encouraged by that, so I just wanted to share that.
Amen.
Amen.
So we will be calling for more fasting and praying for specific things as the Holy Spirit leads. But I don't know, did you guys see that? Well, obviously you saw that the 4 Marines were shot and killed by a Muslim, and
yeah.
What people don't realize, I don't think, is the statement that came from the White House.
Yeah,
what's that?
Another one passed
fifth
away.
One died as well.
Yeah,
fifth Marine.
Yeah,
A sailor.
Yep.
Yeah, a sailor.
The Navy guy.
But what people don't realize, I don't think, is that Obama sent a celebratory message to Muslims about 2 hours before that happened. Said, Michelle and I would like to extend the warmest wishes to Muslims in the United States and around the world celebrating Eid al-Fitr, or whatever it is, as Muslims mark the end of the month. They are reminded that Ramadan is a time to reflect spiritually, build communally, and aid those in need. While Eid marks the end of Ramadan, it marks the beginning of new individual, a reason to celebrate and express gratitude on this holiday. So my thought was that, you know, one crazed white man goes into a black church and kills some black people, which we absolutely don't condone, by the way.
No.
And they want to change society. They want a flag removed. They want you to repent from watching Dukes of Hazzard. but you have a Muslim who boldly claims he's doing it for Allah, and that you American dogs will pay, and nothing. So,
well, that's religious tolerance. That, we have to be tolerant of that religion, John. That's the new society today.
No, we don't. But what we should call for is all the mosques to be removed from the country, and maybe we can come up with a badge for those that claim the Muslim faith. I was thinking we could get a camel or something and put it on them so we would know that they're Muslims and that we need to be more cautious around them as potential terrorists.
And ban the Quran, because those that read the Quran are potential terrorists or are terrorists.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, guys, let's take this caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier about, used the word watchman. I don't know whether you're following this mainstream hoax that's been going on about this new book by Go Set a Watchman by this, supposedly written by this Harper Lee woman who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird. Interesting.
No, I haven't seen it.
Well, you remember that To Kill a Mockingbird. That,
right.
You know, that was the movie that Atticus Finch, you know, the famous movie that used to propagandize everybody back in the early 60s. And anyway, this woman, Harper Lee, she was a neighbor and friend of this. It was a Jew fag named Truman Capote, who was a big-time author. And it was always rumored that he actually wrote that book. And she, for 50 years, this woman would never, ever talk about the book, and she was always a recluse. But all of a sudden now, they coincidentally timed with this Charleston thing. Now they discovered that this woman had written a book called To Set a Watchman. And conveniently now she has Alzheimer's or something, so she cannot communicate. So what it amounts to is somebody has written a book using her name, and it has the same characters as in the first book. Atticus Finch was a real loving white man, you know, and he was defended to black. And now in the new book, we find lurking underneath Atticus is an evil, evil racist. So they're just working us over constantly, you know. And she never wrote either one of the two books. They're just using her as a vehicle, you know, because she can't deny she wrote it. She can't claim she wrote it. So it's just amazing the things they do.
And it'll be, To Kill a Mockingbird has been required reading in the public schools for quite a while, so who knows, maybe they'll put this in as well. It's the propaganda that they come out with. They change history, they rewrite history quite a bit.
Yeah, they actually had something on the news, and they said, now the teachers, presumably this is already in the schools where they're trying to tell you that, and the teachers are worried about how they're going to tell the children that after having read the first book, you know, and how wonderful Atticus Finch was. And now they have to tell the children that Atticus was a bad man.
Well, see, it ties right in with all whites are racist. And that's what they tell to the black communities. Yo, black, the white man, that be your problem. That's the reason you down here. That's the reason you ain't got the big house on the hill. Is the black man, they tell them it's the white man's fault. It's the white man's fault. And see, that just ties right into it. You don't even trust Atticus Finch that we've told you was, because why? Because he's white. When the wrath of God is poured out upon his people, and that's what we're seeing right now. John mentioned it earlier. You read the last part of Deuteronomy 28, 16 through the end. When he pours his wrath out on a people, it's a wrath. It ain't part-time, it ain't halfway, it's full bore. So, and that's just what he's done. And it's from every aspect. It truly is.
They must have a whole office building in New York full of people scheming these things out, you know, following the scheduling all these things to force on us, you know. It's just amazing. They just it's just amazing. So anyway, I didn't know whether you guys have heard about that. I thought I'd pass that along.
Well, appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a blessed weekend.
You too.
Okay. Well, guys, we're about out of time. A couple minutes here if you have any closing thoughts, and then we'll invite them to church tomorrow, and then that's it for this morning.
Yep, let them know we got live message tomorrow, and live communion as always, and have some praise and worship with Shananiah, but go ahead and give the details.
Yeah, well, we do. We welcome you to church tomorrow. You can join us at the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and 10 a.m. Mountain, we'll have a review of the news, and you'll see John with a welcome. Shane and I will be there with some Holy Spirit-inspired music. And, John, you've got communion tomorrow, correct?
Yes, sir.
You're bringing communion tomorrow. And then I'm privileged to be able to bring a live message tomorrow. So I appreciate, John, I appreciate you asking me to do that. And I've got some stuff that I sure hope will be a blessing to the remnant and encourage them to love and good deeds and hopefully open up the eyes of a few. And remind us what we're to do and what we're not to do. So we encourage you to do that very thing. And if you just don't have a good internet connection, you can't, if you can't watch it, you can listen to it. The live audio stream is there as well. If you have one of the smartphones, you can go and click on the stream and go to the website and click on the iPhone app, and that'll let you watch it or listen to it right there. And if you just don't have any of those, maybe you're a shortwave listener, don't have any of that stuff, well, you can always ask for the DVD Church. We record the program and send out hundreds on Monday here from the office. Mondays are busy here at the office getting those DVDs recorded and printed and stuffed and mailed. But we do. We send hundreds out to those that request them. So there's several ways that you can join the services. There's several ways that you can not forsake the assembly. And so we make them known to you, and hopefully you'll take advantage of those. We encourage you to read your Bible. If you don't use our Bible reading plan, that's fine. Just open your Bible up and read it. Pray about it. You know, Lord, lead me to where you want me to read, to what I need to know. If you ask, he'll answer. If you seek, you'll find. It truly is as simple as that. If you have a question, if you have a need in your life, well, search the Scriptures. Ask God. And as a baptized, repentant Christian, you know, trying to lead a Christian life, turning away from sin and turning to him, that's what he does. He answers the call of his people. He always has, and he always will. And so I guess we'll leave you with that. Well, man, again, thanks, and we'll see you at church in the morning. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay kind.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell's and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.